Today's episode of Gilmore Guys is not available as a video podcast. We're going to put out a video companion with it so you can see the images and the videos that we're talking about when we're talking about them. But otherwise, we wanted to put it out as a video, but we ran into some rights issues clearing the video with Entertainment Weekly, as this was a festival show as a part of the lovely Entertainment Weekly Pop Fest. But unfortunately, we couldn't clear the rights in time. We may be able to make it available at a later date, or Entertainment Weekly might, but for now, it's stuck in post-production limbo, baby, which is why also there's so many visual bits on this, because we're like, oh yeah, we'll release it as a video, it'll be great, so sorry about that, but it's still a great show, it's so enjoyable, our chat with Ross, Kimball, and of course Sean Gunn, so hope you still enjoy it, and if you want to see the video companion and the visual companion to see what we're talking about when we're talking about it, the link for that will be available in the episode description in your podcast app, so you can at least see the promos, the stills, and the videos that we play, so we hope you enjoy it, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with the stunning conclusion of the original network run of Gilmore Girls, episode 722. Bon voyage.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Pop Fest, how we doing? Woo, woo. Come on, come on, Pop Fest, how we doing? Do we have audio yet? Anything? Almost?
La, 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 E-W, Pop Fest. Special count plans. We never
we got fans.
Don't know what we're doing. Stage
the lovely Pop Tart. Thank you,
Oh, they're Pop Tarts.
Oh, yeah. Sorry if I hit you. Sorry if I hit you. Sorry
Man,
if I hit you.
I truly
you.
Never know
oh,
what's going
boy.
On. I didn't know we had Pop Tarts. Folks.
Folks.
I'm just going to hand them out. I'm not risking assaulting somebody.
This is so fun. I want to, like, hug all of you for coming here.
Hey, we have the same shirt.
This popped up for you. And probably the most special is the empty box, which, of course, in Stars Hollow customs means we're technically married now. Ooh. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore guys. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing? Was anyone at the live show that we did last week?
Thank you for coming back, despite all things.
Yeah, despite all the horrific things that our guests said at that show. That was so fun. And this is so fun. Entertainment Weekly, what's that?
Nah.
Yeah, DC, DT. You'll see that when
Not
the
related to
comes
this
out.
At all. Just a Dick Tracy fan.
Oh, you'll find out soon enough. But Entertainment Week, I like how we're all casual and, like, sitting down already. These are fun, like, director's chairs. I feel far more important than I am sitting down here. But Entertainment Weekly, we got the call. Mr. Jonathan Entertainment himself called us up and said, boys, we need a podcast. We need a podcast for our Pop Fest, our first annual Pop Fest festival. Mm-hmm. Fest festival, does that work? And we were like, Mr. Entertainment, we are out of episodes. And then we were like, don't worry, we got something special planned. So we're going to do a couple of top five lists. We're going to be counting down, because also the other thing about it too, who here listens to the show or has heard Gilmore Guys before? Who here is checking this out and has never heard us before?
A majority of the audience prepare to be underwhelmed.
Yes. Lower them expectations. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. This isn't normally what we do, but we wanted to do something special for Entertainment Weekly and for all of you in light of the revival episodes coming up so soon. So we're going to do, I mean, how are y'all excited for that? The revival? I'm so curious. Well, real quick, we're short on time. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, you know that it's not difficult for us to go 3 hours long with one of these shows. Like, for real, we did a show in Portland earlier this year that was 2 hours and 45 minutes long, which is, like, not good. We're not taking care of the audience at that point. So it's not going to be that. In fact, I would estimate we have about 56 minutes and 53 seconds
52.
Left. 52. If I had to put a number on it. But I do want to ask, because everyone's so excited for the revival, I want to go into the audience and ask everyone how you plan on watching the new episodes, because they're coming out midnight Pacific Standard Time, I believe, midnight. And how are you doing it? Okay, so your name and how you plan on watching the revival.
My name is Catherine. I'm from Wisconsin, and I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. Midwest time and get my coffee and watch them all four straight all the way through.
Dang, get the coffee, watch them all the way through. Very on brand. I like that. Anything with coffee, very on brand. Does anyone else have some alternative ways that they might watch the revival? Your name and how you're going to watch the revival.
My name's Autumn, and I'm going to work for 12 hours at a hospital and then get off at 12:30 and watch all the episodes.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, we won't delay or dilly-dally or gilly-gally anymore. We got a special guest for you today to help us go through these lists. Are you guys ready to meet your special guest?
I want you to meet my special guest.
La la, la la, a special guest.
Well, he has become a fan favorite on our podcast. He is a comedian. He is an actor. You can catch him in Mascots, currently on Netflix. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Ross Kimball!
Kimball, Roster.
Is there a full version of Ross, or is it just Ross?
Like Rossum?
Yeah.
No, it's just Ross.
Great.
It's just Ross. This is Ross.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You could have a show on NBC called This Is Ross.
This is Ross.
Yeah, and it's just
this,
you.
No,
just,
this is Russ.
Oh, this is Russ.
The Scooby-Doo version of This Is Us.
This is Ross.
Ross, thanks so much for joining
hey,
us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
On the special countdown show
very
today.
Exciting. Very,
very exciting. Very special. So we won't delay any further, and we want to get into a few lists. I want to start with a very special thing. So something for people who don't regularly listen to the podcast, something we love to do is get back into the time machine and see how the CW for that last season or the WB promoted the show when it was on the air. Because boy, oh boy, there's Gilmore Girls and then there's what the WB wanted you to think Gilmore Girls was.
That's how I watch the show. That's all I know about the show.
Is the promos?
Yeah, I've never
You've
watched an episode.
This is a bummer way to find out, bro. This is a bit of a bummer.
On the plus side, you know what they want us to know.
Absolutely.
And nothing more.
So, here we go. Top five WB promos. This first one is for the very first episode of the show. And I want you to pay attention specifically to the music choice that they decided to go with.
They look like sisters. Your daughter.
She's 16.
But.
Drive safe.
Act like sisters.
And seldom make passes at girls who wear that sweater.
And now we say goodbye.
And fight like sisters.
I had dibs on being the witch tonight.
Just tonight?
Lorelai and Rory Gilmore, changing the rules of mother and daughter.
You're gonna have to turn into friggin' Flojo to get away from me.
Gilmore Girls.
This sounds like Sting, but on a cruise ship.
On a carnival cruise. That is one of the first promos. So they wanted you to think, it's mothers and daughters, but yeah, if y'all love reggae, we're here for you too.
It's mothers and daughters brought to you by Royal Caribbean.
It was such a juxtaposition. They were all wearing sweaters, and then it was like a steel pan.
Yeah, that's right. That's the yin and the yang of Gilmore Girls.
Love it.
A cultural melting pot that is Stars Hollow.
Right. All that diversity.
Yeah, that's right. So that's one of the first ones. Also, what was funny to me after seeing the pilot so many times, they used an alternate take of Lorelai saying, you're going to have to turn to friggin' Flojo to get away from me. It's slightly different than it is on the show. So that's just one of those insane things you know if you love Gilmore Girls. Anyway, this is just me airing my
If you guys are just walking in, this is the Gilmore Guys. How you guys doing?
I do like to imagine that there's some people who are like, look, these tickets were free. I'm going to every show. So thank you to those of you.
Is there anyone in here, safe space, is there anyone in here that's never seen Gilmore Girls ever at all?
All right.
Okay, all right.
Shout out to you for broadening your horizons with a very niche podcast.
Welcome.
I love these people are heroes to me because I feel like if I go to a concert and I don't know like most of the songs, then I won't go or I'll be miserable.
How'd you get to the concert in the first place?
Well, friends, usually.
There you go.
Or a date situation.
Okay.
So that's promo number one. Now I want to play promo number two. Y'all fan Jess Mariano? Who here's Team Jess?
Quite a few.
Maybe a majority. We're not sure.
I'd say about 80%.
We'll have to do a Pokemon Go to the poll after the show.
No spoilers.
So there is a pivotal episode in season two in which Jess and Rory have essentially like a study date together. And spoilers for people who haven't seen the show, they get into a little car crash. What the WB wants you to believe about this car crash is so insane. So again, I can't underline it enough. Pay attention to the music in this promo. And listen to what is maybe an episode of Gilmore Girls, maybe a film noir from the 40s.
On an all-new Gilmore Girls, Rory Gilmore turns reckless.
Take the wheel.
Jess.
I'm letting go.
Now, Lorelai Gilmore needs someone to blame.
It was an accident.
What happened? Is anyone hurt?
Rory's in the emergency room, so yeah, I'd say someone was hurt.
One mistake will end a lifelong friendship.
Why did you do this?
This is my fault.
Yes, this is your fault.
An all-new Gilmore Girls.
All right, so from that, I think the whole Gilmore Girls ends in season two, right?
It looks like Rory legit died.
Done.
Because the car looks horrible. And I mean, they don't show the car wreck in the episode.
I'm letting go. Whoa.
That was like a trailer for Fear. It was weird.
Totally. Oh, there's something
to like,
that.
They're just like, believe Jess is a dangerous boy.
Yeah, I could see him as a Marky Mark type, a Marky Mark situation. So there's that. And then just going sequentially, there's a season three promo that I think for a brief moment, this is for the episode Take the Deviled Eggs, in which Rory, yeah, we got some
Okay,
take
we
the
got
deviled
a deviled
egg.
Okay,
we call fans. We call those eggheads. Right. Not.
She lifts up a tray of deviled eggs.
Whoa,
big fan.
And she throws them at us. so there's that episode. And I think, again, just trying to get into the WB's mindset with these promos, I think the WB wants you to believe that this is an episode of Sex and the City. Again, with the music, let's take a watch and listen at that promo.
On the WB's New Tuesday, Rory drags her mom to a baby shower for the other woman in her dad's life.
Oh, take one of those poppers, pop it right up. Mom, let's go.
Now, a daughter is tempted into her father's new family.
Rory, you can stay the weekends.
Thank you, I'll definitely visit.
Oh, your little sister's going to demand it.
But a mother is not yet ready to share her daughter's love. An all-new Gilmore Girls on WB's New Tuesday.
This is what people who don't watch the show think it is.
I think so. So that shot is from an entirely different episode in which Lorelai's having a heart-to-heart with Luke about her like career and love life. This has nothing to do with Rory at this point. But they just plopped it in like a couple of deceivers.
Yeah. This show is really created in the editing.
Absolutely. I'm just the editor is just smiling. He's like, oh, man. This is going to be good.
But also a bit of a Caribbean theme in the music as well. If you
That's
guys
why the editor's that. Like, this is going to be good.
I honestly believe the beginning of season two, they were like, let's go all out on the budget. We're buying this Royal Caribbean music pack for the entire season. And then they were like, oh, none of the storylines take place on a cruise ship. We got to use it
somehow. Oh, no.
So they just throw it in everywhere. It's like, Lorelai gets some dangerous news.
Under the sea. So the next promo in this countdown of number four, I guess we're supposed to say, this is for the infamous Life and Death Brigade episode. You jump, I jump, jump. Oh, there's a lot of ahs.
Was the ah because it's so good or you didn't like it?
Who here is Team Logan?
I think it's one of the best.
Now hold on. You
I think it's one of the
Jess.
Best.
All right. Okay. Oh,
and how are you friends? Okay.
It's like Israel and Palestine. How do you do it?
I guess.
What an example to us all, especially in this contentious election season, that no matter our perspectives, we can always find common ground.
Oh, Kevin. Okay. Putting the blanket on. I love it. Tucking us all in.
Trying to. I'm your dad. So let's watch this promo. Again, this is kind of another genre nightmare in which Logan is the bad guy. Again, and this is just from the editing, but check it out. This is the Life and Death Brigade episode, which, as we all know, spoilers for people who haven't watched the show before, ends in a fun, silly, like they jump off a scaffolding and it's fun. In the promo, it ends a little bit differently, or at least the tone is a little bit different. Let's check it out.
You look like you need a little adventure.
On the WB Tuesday,
a curious attraction.
Do I take enough chances?
Where is this coming from?
Lures Rory to his secret world.
Isn't this the point of being young?
Now she'll take a risk.
You climb up there with me, it's one less minute you haven't lived.
A risk she never imagined.
It's your choice, Ace.
Whoa. Tuesday at 7 on Central.
Trying to take it back. This is the trailer for Fear.
Right.
All of these boyfriends, like, the promos are just letting you know Rory's making some terrible choices and getting involved with dangerous men.
Oh my gosh.
It's you didn't add that echo effect in the beginning. It was like you need a little adventure.
Do you trust me?
What?
So, but what audience do you think they were going for with that? With that promo.
Who saw Daredevil and loved it.
Yeah.
Daredevil was very hot at this point. It was 2004. It was all the rage. It's hard to remember that time. But,
it was when it came out on DVD.
Yeah, that's right. And again, a promo. The second promo we've watched today in which it seems like the conclusion is Rory dies at the end. Like Rory,
that's how they get you.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
I believe they stole that from South Park. Every episode, it's like, she's gone again.
Right. She is Rory the Kenny of Stars Hollow. Yeah. Right.
Also, I like this season. Season 4?
This is season 5.
I like that as well.
All right.
we're going fast. I thought it was 4.
We're going
that
fast. Was
five. Okay, that was fine.
I know. I might have skippied. And then the final of 5, which again, I just like the ones with weird, twisted, dark endings. This is the infamous 609, The Prodigal Daughter Returns. In which we all know, spoilers, I'm going to stop saying spoilers because it's wearing me out, but we all know that this is the episode, Hey, Hey, Ho, Ho, in which the greatest character on Gilmore Girls arrives, April Nardini. Who here's Team April?
You know what I'm realizing as we keep going is like, April doesn't do anything bad. She doesn't do anything bad, but people hate her over men that actively make Rory cry.
It's like mayonnaise. There's no reason to hate mayonnaise.
Yeah, but you can be like, all right, don't put it on my sandwich, but don't go, fuck you and your mayonnaise.
Right. You don't go on a diatribe on Facebook about how you hate mayonnaise. Just don't get it on your sandwich.
It's fine.
Mayonnaise isn't inherently offensive, but in the wrong context, it can be pretty gross. So I guess that's
very true.
Speaking as someone who, for a video shoot in middle school, was covered head to toe in mayonnaise in the hot Texas sun.
Ooh.
What? No, it was for a camp thing, but then they didn't end up using it.
Was this one of those camp things where they're like, "Hey, Kevin, you cover yourself in mayonnaise, and we'll be right back"?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird, but they were my friends. I think.
Right.
Like
right. You
guys are my friends, right, guys?
Sure. Play the clip.
Okay. So that's Luke's secret. Is his secret daughter? What they imply the secret to be at the end of this is something much more sinister. Again, it looks like, check out the shot of Luke at the end where he looks like straight up Tony Soprano. Here we go.
Rory!
It's the moment they thought would never come.
I love you, Mom.
Oh. Kid, you have no idea. Rory's back. We can set the date.
But a secret from Luke's past.
Something's going on. Something big.
Will jeopardize everything. Fresh Gilmore Girls next Tuesday at 8, 7 Central on the WB.
Whoa.
God, all of these promos is that it feels like one person does the first half and then another person does the second half.
And there's no communication between the two. It's like, you got to finish it, Bob.
It's like an
exquisite
corpse
podcast.
It's right.
Two assistant editors who hate each other working at the WB promo department.
The first person was like, it's the butterfly effect, right? And the second person was like, no, it's the Sopranos.
Ross pointed out like how weirdly different the graphics got as the WB's network identity progressed into, I guess, nothingness when it became the CW.
Right. Well, it turned into like a White Stripes video, or like where everyone's just coming up forward. Thank you for like 3 people knowing that music video. Everyone's coming up forward. Also, when Luke was sitting in the chair, I was waiting for him to be like, "You disrespected me," and then cutting to someone. That was it was great. It got me interested, though. I wanted to watch it.
Yeah, so you know what? Maybe these are the best promos ever put together. Maybe we had them all wrong. And that's been the top 5 WB promos, baby. You want to get into your list next?
Sure. Wait, actually, no, let's save mine.
Save yours?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's talk about Ross's list next.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and this is top 5 characters that could have their own spinoff. top five characters I could. So one of the great things about Gilmore Girls is we watch for the girls and we watch for the core cast, but we also watch for the townies and all the periphery characters in the show and how rich and wonderfully detailed those characters are and how great those performances are. So Ross has put together a top five list of some of the cream of the crop as far as these people go.
Just real quick, and you guys know all these townies that come in and all these one-offs. We want to see more of them. At least I do. And these are some deep cuts that I really, really love. And these people...
It's a GGDC.
Absolutely. GGDC. Yeah. For sure a GGDC. And these people deserve their own shows and or web series.
That's a very different thing, by the way.
All these people deserve their own shows. Am I in the way if I stay like this?
No, you're good.
They okay. All deserve their own Vine endorsement deals.
Absolutely.
Topical.
So my first one, should we play the clip and then, or should I just introduce? This is, this happened, season 4, episode 4. We get introduced to Brendan Lewis.
Y'all remember Brendan Lewis?
Y'all remember Brendan Lewis.
Let's play the clip and let's remember Brendan Lewis.
Lucas hired him, so we have to give him a chance.
You have the pancakes?
We sure do.
Yeah, foreigner.
Hi, Brendan.
Hey.
Rory Gilmore, we went to school together.
Yeah?
You don't remember? Biology? The frog?
There've been a lot of frogs, ma'am.
What?
Okay. Thanks for the food.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that guy deserves a Vine series.
The best.
He
Absolutely.
Already looks Vine like a Vine star.
But also, I wanted him to be like an intern nurse somewhere. And it's always him walking in and like, I'm bleeding my arm. Yeah, you are. All right, bye.
People will die.
He really just comes in, sets him up, and knocks him down. That's just,
there's
what
been a
does
lot
that
of frogs.
Mean?
Yeah, there's been a lot
what
of frogs.
What is a lot
man.
Of frogs? Is he referring to the Stephen Sondheim musical from 2004? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Does
was it a WB?
About?
Did they shoehorn a WB thing in?
Oh, is he talking about Michigan J Frog? There's
I
been
mean,
a lot
hello,
of frogs.
Hello, my darling.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He just like gestures to the logo.
Yeah, it's on
like,
the bottom dancing.
It's the lower third. Hello, my baby. There's been a lot of Kermit. I mean, the list goes on, guys.
On and on and on.
So that's number five.
So
Brendan
Dassey. Did anyone remember
I was
him?
Called him Brendan Dassey,
okay,
by
okay, cool.
The way.
We got some people in the back wearing Team Brendan Lewis shirts.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to number four.
Number four.
These are some of my favorite ladies.
Some of Ross's favorite ladies. I think that's all we need to set up this very clip. Is the volume good for everyone in the house? We feel good about it? Cool. There's number four.
Ladies,
a group of ladies,
we know this. No one is more embarrassed
yeah.
than myself, but what are we going to do?
How many tables are still unsold?
Over half.
Oh, unbelievable.
This is a function for our troops.
We'll be the laughing stock of the DAR. We'll lose our national accreditation, and this is a very weak drink.
It's just punch, Nora.
My point, dear.
I simply don't understand people.
This money was designated for additional armor for the boys at Fort Drum.
We've insulted the organization, insulted our troops.
We might as well all march to Mount Vernon and drop our drawers and do something foul on George Washington's grave.
Nora,
I'm sorry, but I'm really upset.
Nora's
about
hardcore.
This, and I'm far too sober to put it in any sort of perspective.
Ladies, they are some of my favorites. So, my whole thing with this. Here's a show. Here's a television show. Here it is. So now we have this time travel theme. Everyone has ABC, NBC. All these people have a time travel show. These ladies find a time machine and go back to the Revolutionary War.
Oh, my God.
And they find these actual people and help them. All right, moving on to three.
Well, and then we get to the bottom of how Nora, who is by far the best member of the DAR,
yes, yes, yes.
Why she has a British accent. Why? Why is that? I mean, I guess that's... I think we got some emails about that. So
people
maybe
can move.
Dummy.
Yes. Yeah. My fiance, her mom is from England, married an American man, and had her. And at a very young age, she had a British accent, and now she doesn't have a British accent.
I was born in England, and I had a British accent until I was six.
Yeah, there we all go. Know this, right? Demi is technically... This is not...
We
no
all know
zone.
This, right?
Demi's British. He straight up is British.
Yeah.
Like a passport and everything? You have two passports?
No, just one.
Oh, just one?
Yeah. Moving on.
Number three.
I want to dig a little more into that.
All right, let's talk about my spinoff.
Number three. Now, I clipped way too much of this, so I'm going to cut
Hold
it
on,
off.
Hold on, I forgot. Between three and two. This is... Okay. All right, here we go. This is a deep cut. He was in and out real quick.
Yeah. This is from 8 o'clock at the Oasis.
Everyone's so friendly, Babette. Do you know Babette?
Everybody knows Babette.
Oh, she's a great lady. Oh,
Anyhow, I'm Dwight.
I'm Lorelai. And if you see a teen walking around with a halo and a book, that's my daughter, Rory.
Very nice to meet you, Lorelai.
Nice to meet you too, Dwight. Welcome to the neighborhood. If there's anything I can do to help out, let me know.
Really?
Sure.
Well, that's great. I actually have this little favor I'd love to ask.
Uh-oh.
Oh, right now?
Well, this week. You know, I just got this beautiful lawn put in, really amazing shade of green. And the guy who put it in for me, he told me that I have to keep each blade of grass very moist for the first few days while the roots take.
She has such a good, I don't want to listen to you face.
So last minute. And believe me, I tried to get out of it, but my boss said, Dwight, get off your keister and go make us some money. So
there's 3 minutes left in this clip.
Oh boy.
I'm cutting it off.
Exactly.
This is Dwight. That's Dwight.
That's Dwight.
That's Dwight.
Also, I think Lorelai did a great job not saying anything after he said moist, because I think that would have been a great time for her to be like, nope.
Yeah, no, that might have been a trigger to a lesser woman.
But I wish he lived there next to them till the end of the series, and I hope he's back. This Netflix revival.
We can confirm.
That's what I'm hoping.
He is the star of all of summer.
Well, I mean, there's some Netflix synergy there, because he did play the... He was very funny on The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, that actor was. He played
right.
a lawyer in
that's
season
right.
two, I believe.
Also, this sets up the whole water spigot going off, and...
Oh, which provided Tumblr many a gif of a soaking wet Jess Mariano. Yeah, all right.
Had to get it somehow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Gotta get it somehow. Yep.
All right, that's it. Number two.
Number two.
Rory Gilmore, you should be ashamed of yourself. Toying with these boys like this. They used to have pride. They used to have dignity. They used to have balls. Damn it, Gilmore. Give them back their balls.
Okay.
People in here are clapping for them.
Colin and Finn, that should have been Suits.
No, but no. Matt Bomer's on that. Yeah. That's not, that doesn't fit.
Okay, fine. Going to number one, baby. Wait.
No, okay, no.
Suits.
Pitch me, Colin.
You want them to be, like, running a law firm or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the ground?
Not into the ground. I think it's a small town.
Okay.
They're a law firm, small town, and then they rent jet skis. Like, they rent out jet skis to the town.
Before
on the weekends.
We get corrections on this, I don't know what Suits is about. I don't know if it involves a law firm. That might be Franklin and Bash.
Well, this is the show now.
Okay.
It's like hot white people doing stuff.
Right. Right.
Where's my suit?
Yeah.
Ah, my suit's dirty.
Ah.
Yeah, that's
hey,
kinda,
nice
yeah,
suit.
You know how like 6
somebody
feet
ironed my white collar.
Death as a device?
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's Suits. It's like a suit that needs to get dry cleaned. It's
wait.
Like, how's it going to happen?
Oh, Suits, lawsuits. I was right.
And great. They're in Suits.
Oh, they're all puns.
It's an entendre.
All puns.
So I hate that scene, and I hate all three of those men so much. And this is the scene that solidified it for me that all of these people are awful.
I agree. Yeah.
I do love little Bobo Anna Kendrick in that scene, who Rory's showing around the campus. So sweet, so innocent. And then it goes all away in that moment.
Also, I think those three guys remind me of people I went to high school with. I think there was like 15 of those guys.
Oh, yeah, you
school.
Told us about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
there,
story
there
of the
these
dating.
Guys. Yeah, just guys just always pulling pranks, and they could just do, they were untouchable. Like, they pulled a prank, they had, it's like a classic prank, guys, you know it. You get two pigs, you number one, and you number one, three.
Is this classic?
Has anyone ever heard this prank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you grease up a pig, and then you catch the one and three, and then they're looking for two, but the two isn't there. They did that twice in one school year.
Twice?
Yeah, twice in one school year. Just classic, real fun dudes. They're all successful people now. Moving on to number one.
they all like, star in Suits now.
What I feel like you should have done is get one pig, name it one, get another pig, name it four, get like three dogs, name them 7, 9, 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's like, I don't know what the order or system here is.
Right. Yeah. That'd have been great.
All right, let's go to number one with a bullet. And I think already, even though I don't know if...
Everyone knows.
I don't know if Demi knows at this point.
Let's all say it at the same time.
This person, 1, 2, 3.
Fra.
Let's watch the clip, because I think it's someone we can all get on board with.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am an escrow.
What?
I am an escrow. I got the paperwork to prove. She felt the vibe, and now I'm... In escrow. Because I'm escrow. In escrow. Yeah, I'm in escrow.
Does he even know what escrow means?
I doubt it, but he's so happy.
The guy
I'm
is
an escrow.
So...
Give it up, sister. I'm an escrow.
I mean, how? I don't think I have to say anything. TJ deserves a spinoff.
1,000%.
Absolutely.
Mr. Michael DeLuise giving a performance of a lifetime.
Absolutely.
I think from day one on this podcast, we've always been Team TJ. And there's a reason why.
Yeah. And I want him to like run a Renaissance dinner theater.
Like okay. Times.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like
medieval
times.
The man is so happy to high five this weirdo. Absolutely. That runs into the diner and just screams the wrong words.
Watching this back and cutting it for this episode, I was like, I think this is one of the funniest shots ever on Gilmore Girls. Yeah. Where he's just like strolling up to no one, like none of his friends, and just going
hey,
into the high five with Keon.
I like
TJ
this guy.
Is the greatest. Is one of the greatest characters on the show.
Also, the background actors, as I'm watching it more, the background actors are amazing. I love watching background actors in movies and TV shows anyway, because sometimes they'll play it subtle, but other times they'll be like...
But there was one we highlighted in Hey Bale Maze.
Oh, that's right.
Hey Bale Maze. That is pretty epic if you guys want to check out that. I don't know why I'm plugging an episode of our show.
Please listen to us.
On the show. Yeah, please, we need it. But I've said it before, background actors can be very distracting. It's unfortunate.
For the last year or so now, I've been forcing myself to cook more, mostly to pretend I'm more interesting than I actually am. And one thing I've realized is that the worst part of cooking is having to find the right ingredients, because there's so much unnecessary shit in everything. So I got Blue Apron, and it rules, mostly because it enables my laziness, but also because it helps me save money, it puts variety in the things I eat, and it doubles my ability to pretend I'm more interesting than I actually am. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron's gonna give you seasonal recipes, along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And it's not just pre-portioned ingredients, it's better ingredients. And if Papa taught me anything, it's the better ingredients, better pizza. So let's say you want to eat vegan. You can do that. Maybe you want to eat everything except for chicken. You can do that. Maybe you want to eat nothing but a handful of assorted beans sent to you every week. I'm being told you cannot just have a handful of beans sent to you every week. But if you have reasonable dietary choices, Blue Apron will help you fulfill them. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Gilmore Guys. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to make incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/Gilmore Guys. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. There's a famous quote by Benjamin Franklin. In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes and eventually needing to wear a suit. And if you're gonna wear a suit, getting a generic one off the rack makes no sense. You don't want to walk around looking like David Byrne, right? So start making sense and get yourself a custom-fitted Indochino suit. They're one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands, and they're making it super easy for men to get great-fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at a great price. Pick from hundreds of fabrics and patterns, then choose how you want your clothes customized, give them your body measurements, and just kick back, relax until your beautiful, stylish suit arrives. As a little special this week, listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering code GilmoreGuys at checkout. That's Indochino.com. And that's a whole 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Not to mention, shipping's completely free. Again, that's Indochino.com, promo code GilmoreGuys for any premium suit. Just $389, free shipping. They've also got incredible holiday deals right now on their shirts, pants, and other products, too. You're never going to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive tailor trips again. Ladies, if there's one thing I know, it's that women be shopping. And if there's two things I know, it's that women be shopping because having to maintain a body that regularly menstruates and occasionally ruins underwear be expensive. Obviously, I can't relate to that struggle, but I can at least help by hooking you up with our pals over at Finx. Finx is period-proof underwear designed to hold up to 2 tampons worth of blood. That sounds icky, but fear not. They're also specifically designed so that you don't feel like you're sitting in your own blood or walking around in some sort of weirdly stylish diaper. They're gonna keep you dry all day long, they're super thin, and they come in all sorts of styles. Hip huggers, high waist, boy shorts, briefs, thongs, you name it. Keep your period on lock and look good doing it too. Finx underwear have 4 layers of tech that makes them antimicrobial, moisture wicking, absorbent, and leak resistant. It's good underwear, folks, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can listen to the testimony of a real, live woman!
Oh, these look cool.
Curious? I know you are. You can get $5 off your order with the code GilmoreGuys at checkout. So do yourself a favor. Go to shethinks.com, that's shethinx.com, and get yourself a pair of Finx today. Back to the show.
Now we transition to Demi's.
Now, I did a very similar list because, as we all know, the heroes of this town are the people who are not given names so often. So I now present to you all... The top five minor characters and the backstories I've given to them based on little to no information about them from the show.
The show.
I just realized I misspelled information. Look. Stars Hollow is a vivid storybook wonderland, all right? And being a vivid fictional town that it is means that it's populated by these vivid fictional characters. But not all these characters get fleshed out on the screen, but that doesn't mean they didn't have stories. And today I present to you the five most important stories you don't get. Number one.
Number one. Or five. It doesn't, you know, it's not an order of preference. Yeah!
Boozoo!
Oh, yeah.
Barnes.
Boozoo Barnes!
Guys, we all know Boozoo. We met him at the beginning of episode 615 of Vineyard Valentine, often considered the best episode of the entire series. Now, Boozoo
and
started
April's
out as
character.
A man, and this is what you don't
get. He starts off as a man.
That's right.
And becomes a force.
This is the Danish girl. No, Boozoo started out as a man who wrote commercial jingles. And he wrote so many famous jingles. The Kit Kat jingle.
I love this.
Et cetera. Other jingles, I don't know any. And then his voice was messed up because he had an accident with a gravel truck. And then he was bitten by a radioactive, slightly French man, hence his accent.
At the same time?
This happened in a very quick amount of time.
Okay, I'm following.
I'm just reading this from the sheet Amy
from what you
sent
wrote.
Me.
No, from Amy, what Amy sent
this
you.
Is all
right, right.
Yeah, this is part of the Amy Sherman-Palladino show Bible that she set
That's
up
right.
6 years before this episode.
Now, although he could no longer use his voice for the distinctive jingles, he did find success with one specific ad, and that is the Zatarain's ad. And so he was like, well, I'm quitting my job. I'm just getting the band together, and we're singing the Zatarain's
ad.
And
we know, we all know that jingle, right?
Jazz it up. Zatarain's. Right.
Jazz
it up. He does it better. Actually, let's play the clip.
Oh, is this number two?
No, this is just the clip. Oh, yes, the video number two.
Cool. Freeform.
Hi, I'm Lorelai Gilmore. How can I help you guys?
I'm Boozoo.
Boozoo, that's your name, Boozoo?
Boozoo Barnes.
Boozoo Barnes.
And the Cajun Stompers.
Sorry, I'm like 1,000 miles behind here.
We set this up a while ago, the audition. Boozoo.
Boozoo, you're that Boozoo.
You know more than one Boozoo?
I set this up myself. It was for the wedding. The audition.
The audition.
Oh, the wedding.
What you want to hear?
Well, it's like this, Boozoo. I don't need to hear you play because...
No, Miss Gilmore, no. It's like this. When the Zydeco band is at the instrument, they must play.
But...
Zydeco Boogaloo, boys. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is the
and
music from a bunch of promo.
That's why you into Zydeco.
It
just
is.
Just thought it might be festive and funny. I was going to audition them in a Dixieland combo and Led Zepp again.
Who?
Yeah, it stops in the middle of the clip. Boozoo would go on to voice various cartoon frogs from New Orleans and model for wallpapers.
There's
at
been a lot of frogs, man.
Nationwide. Mm. Number four.
Number four.
Folks, I don't even think I need to introduce this. It's William.
William!
You guys remember William, right? I feel
yeah.
like I don't even have to say his last name. It's William. Come on. Here, let's play the video. I think you know William.
Wait, is there a video?
That's not William at all.
That's Bootsy, bro.
Hey,
well, that's a spoiler.
Oh, I see.
This is William.
Laundry
hey,
basket guy.
Would you maybe want to get a cup of coffee sometime in between classes or something?
I don't think so.
Whoa! Whoa, William!
William is one of the most important unsung heroes of this entire series because he's the only man in the history of this entire show who's ever told Rory Gilmore no.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Now, reading into the Bible, it's also possible that he might only be the only gay character in this entire series, too. So who's to say? Number three.
Number three.
It's Bootsy, baby.
It's Bootsy, baby.
Folks, we all know and love Bootsy, the man who came to Stars Hollow as a mere newspaper stand owner, but what you don't know is why he came, and that is to get out from under the shadow of his brother, Carlos Santana.
Yes.
Now, when you're the brother of Carlos Santana, named Bootsy Santana, you everywhere you go, people are just like, it's you, you're the brother of Carlos.
Bootsy
it's you,
Santana.
You're the brother of Carlos Santana.
Right.
So to get out from under this man's shadow, he went to the only place on earth with so little diversity they have never heard of Carlos Santana. And there he resides as a newspaper salesman.
Because he's just like the ocean under the moon.
It's the same as the emotion that I'm
getting
loving
from you.
You got the kind of love that can be so smooth.
Give me the news, make it real, or else forget about it. Number four.
Number four.
I don't know what number we're doing.
Next
number
one.
Two, we're counting down.
Whoa.
Mias. The two Mias. Now, some of you might think, well, those are two different characters. Why does it count as one? And that is because we started with this Mia, and then she was single white femaled by this Mia.
Can I just say, I was in my car listening to this episode when you guys were talking about this, and I was losing my mind. I had to back it up 15 seconds.
He had a car wreck.
You guys were talking about that.
Yeah?
I didn't realize it.
I didn't either, but as Amy said in the official Gilmore Girls Bible, ooh, which I have a copy of, Mia was murdered, and she took her place because she was trying to get at some sweet, sweet Emily Gilmore information. And so here we have the remains of Mia. It's the new Mia.
Forgive me. Oh, go ahead.
Orange is the new Mia. What were That's you going to
say? Forgive me. The actress on the right, I blank on her name.
Miss Kathy Baker. Ms.
Kathy Baker.
Who got a lot of confusing at mentions when that podcast episode dropped. Because people were like, why don't you guys treat at Kathy Baker with more respect?
I love her. Yeah. And fell in love with her at Edward Scissorhands. She plays the neighbor that gets her hair cut.
She's that kind of horned up lady that's super into it.
Lures him into the hair. I can talk forever about it. Anyway.
I love it. All right.
She's great.
And that's Mia. Mia's.
And the final, probably the most important, is, of course, the Nature Must Wait child. Now, don't play the clip just yet.
Don't
play the clip just yet. It's an important number one. This man is maybe the cornerstone of the entire series.
Cornerstone, the bedrock of Gilmore Girls.
I do believe so, because he gets at the mythical center of Stars Hollow. This man was born 0 AD on the Lunar New Year, and every Lunar New Year, he is cursed by a witch to stay in the body of a child forever until he has a peaceful Lunar New Year. And then this asshole comes on in and decides to ruin it by going to the bathroom. He doesn't stand for it. Watch what happens.
Slimy food doesn't float my boat like it does others. I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom.
You're not allowed to leave the table.
Nature's calling, kid.
Nature must wait.
Whoa.
It's about keeping it down there, Spooky.
Whoa!
Oh, no!
If I beat the crap out of this little kid, will anyone care?
Man.
That's the original unedited.
I was going to say, I wish you did something to that. I wish you edited it.
Well, I did have to pry this from Amy's cold hands, but she I was gonna say cold dead, but she's very nearby.
Very
I'm pretty
alive.
Sure.
She's here.
Very alive.
Today.
She might be in one of these seats just eyeing us going,
The nightmare / the dream is that she's in the back room of one of these shows and she just starts throwing shit at us. Like,
I
how
think we'd
dare
be able
you?
To see her because there'd just be like a giant top hat
touching
the ceiling, and I'd be like, that's probably her.
Didn't we fantasize at one point that the finale of the show is her just like punching us in the mouth or something? Like,
I think that would honestly be your dreams.
Not mine. I don't want to get punched in the mouth.
It might be. I fantasize about her like screaming at me because I screwed something up.
I do like the story. Like, oh, I know you.
That was the first time. Oh, I know all about you, my friend. Oh shit. Still don't know what that means. Got one more little list for you guys. One more little list. This is the top three flawless fashion moments on the show.
Okay.
So I want to dim the lights and I want to let us take a look at some of the choices and some of the wardrobe that they put the flawless, truly, Lauren Graham in. So this is from episode 411, and it's something that even upon revisiting it, I kind of blocked out of my memory. This is in Weston's, and this is what Lorelai is wearing. What is this? I cannot make heads or tails.
This is
she wearing it backwards?
I don't know. Was it a cockatoo that she skinned and then wore as a trophy?
This little number is called Rainforest Cafe Camouflage.
Yes. That's how you get that free meals.
Yeah.
You just hide in the Rainforest Cafe.
There's a floating head here. We have to feed it. The thing that really bothers me is the like weird opening bell end of the sleeves.
What she could be a
hell?
Magician.
Because it seems like it's a sweater at one point and then just a bigger shirt on the inside.
I was going to say, is it a part of it or is it a shirt? What do you say, guys?
It's two different things.
Yeah. It's a shirt underneath it.
Okay.
Oh. Kinda. I maintain she lost a fight with the NBC peacock and that's his bloody feathers all over her wardrobe. Number two, this is from the season 2 premiere of Gilmore Girls, in which Lorelai dons this shirt.
Yeah.
A doggy shirt.
I'm about it.
Which, as men watching this show and commenting on women's fashion, we definitely have an authoritative take on all this. But one thing we notice in our journey is that a lot of dogs on shirts, subtle sometimes, and a lot of leaves, a lot of like flowery and floral patterns, like a lot of leaves on shirts. So this is just straight up dog with like a sleeveless shirt, blue. And then...
Is the collar bedazzled? Is it like beaded where like the spikes are? I'm watching it from here.
I cannot tell.
The dog or the shirt?
Oh, you know what? From here, from this angle, wow, this is a lot closer, as you can tell. but it looks like that, like how spikes on a collar can happen, but it's not it at all. So it's not, guys. Everyone relax. It's not.
If Lorelai was wearing a shirt with like legitimate spikes coming out of where the collar should be, and every time she hugs someone, she makes them bleed on accident.
The way the shirt curves around her breasts makes the dog look like it got hit in the head.
Oh,
and
no.
And it's really stressing me out.
Is it before Paul Anka?
This is, this is PPA.
Proto Paul.
Yeah, Proto Paul.
Proto Paul.
And then finally, this is from the season 3 premiere of Gilmore Girls. This is a remnant and relic of the early 2000s.
Bucket hat.
Da bucket hat. Da bucket
also,
hat.
Also, great screenshot, by
what
the way.
What is Taylor doing?
Just great screenshot.
He's going in for a high five with a ghost, I think. I could not figure out and she looks so sweet doing it. I think actually Sarah Ramos tweeted this very outfit to her, and she's like, oh, well, I feel embarrassed about this as I did back then.
It
so
looks like a screenshot from the opening titles of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, like before she takes off the hat.
Yeah,
that's
true,
and she is going to make it after all, so that
she
tracks.
Will. She will.
She also looks like Sandra Bullock in All About Steve in the previous one. Something's a little off with you.
We all know All About Steve, right, guys? And she almost looks like an extra in Dude, Where's My Car? Where it's just like one of the random, like one of those early 2000s.
What is this weird seal on the necklace? It's like the Harry Potter seal,
faded. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
No, it's the Never Ending Story emblem.
You know, what's beautiful about Gilmore Girls is that, there's a lot of ways to interpret it, and there's a lot of ways to go. We all have different
That's what
opinions.
I love about
Stop
art.
Showing off just because you know what things are.
All right, and that's been the top three flawless fashion moments on the show.
Mm-hmm.
One more video. Woo-hoo. One more video before we get into our next segment. This was actually outlined in our description, too. We want to do the top 20, or actually the first 20 jobs. The first 20 jobs that Kirk ever had. So I'm making this video. I was like, this will be fun. We'll go through all of them. And I was like, there's like 80. I can't do this. I'm running out of time.
How long did this take you?
A little bit.
It's amazing.
So this is some of the top 20 Kirk Gleason.
I can't wait.
Top 20 Kirk Gleason jobs.
Perfect.
Live delivery men,
live servers. Love is best. You make a like it. You know I dealt with you the nicest. Nobody
and
touched me in
the
right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special treat. Please
Nobody
welcome to the stage,
I believe that all of your dreams are the reason. You took my heart, all my keys, and my vision. You took my heart, all my sleep and decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had.
Are we your backup dancers? Is this what's happening?
But I wake up and Ellen's wrong.
Beautiful.
Just get ready for work.
Sean, welcome to the stage.
Thanks for having me.
Out of all those clips we played of the delivery men, the Swan delivery guy, the DSL installer, which wasn't even Kirk, it was Mick. So it was like before you even had a permanent name.
Right.
Which one was the most potent trigger for you?
Okay, you got to say, I couldn't see it back there. So
uh-oh.
It was.
Should we play it again?
Play it again?
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. We'll play it again. We'll just lower
Do I have to dance again?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go from the, Daisy delivery guy, party coordinator,
oh, nice.
Photographer, mechanic, server, termite inspector, video store clerk.
You know who really needs a spinoff is Kirk.
Hell yeah.
It seems like a mystery series in which he goes undercover at a bunch of different jobs to figure out who got killed.
Mold inspector, which I found to be very
funny. All kinds
funny.
Of good stuff there.
You did a lot.
What was the question again?
Which of those was the most potent trigger where it's like, well, that was a long day? Did you have any issues
day.
With the swan when you were doing swan?
No,
swan
no,
delivery?
Swan was an easy day. Anything in the town hall is going to be a long day.
Okay.
All right, dance marathon. All right, I didn't see, there was an announcer. The walk and talk where I'm walking through the town hall with the megaphone.
Oh yeah,
that's a long day.
Ooh, a lot of extras, a lot of people.
Getting stuck in the Lucite box was a short day?
No. That was a long day.
Oh, yeah,
day.
Talk about glass
and you know
box.
What's funny about that box was
yeah.
that I had to stay up there because they had to get this forklift out in order to get me in and out of that box. And so in between takes, it just didn't make sense for me to, you know, even in between setups, it didn't make sense for me to get out and get back in.
Yeah, and be treated like a human.
I didn't have my
right.
phone up there. So I was just sitting for hours. I was just sitting in that box, you know, just like on the shelf.
Was
but,
it
know,
hot as hell in there?
I'll survive. No, it was actually really cold that night. And oddly enough, in L.A., it was like a cold night in L.A.
Okay, so not so bad.
But it was all right. You know, what are you going to do? I suffer for my art, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kirk Gleason is the definition of suffering for your art, the character.
Or suffering for something. Yeah.
I mean, I even think about the parachute episode where you were wearing that huge-ass parachute. That had to be rough.
That one stuck out, too, because that parachute was really heavy. Maybe all parachutes are heavy. I wouldn't know from experience.
It's
but,
not heavy, you die.
But, yeah, no, that was an annoying episode. The hot dog suit was an annoying episode.
That's right. Hot dog suit.
Yeah, I
oh,
know.
Boy.
I always say that I metaphorically wore a hot dog suit for the entire run of the show.
That got some awes from the crowd. Hey, a lot of people like hot
you
dogs,
poor
guys.
Man.
You wore a Minotaur head for one, which I really loved.
Oh, that's right. For the hay bale
the
maze,
giant.
You wore a giant Minotaur head.
Oh, yeah, with the stilts.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to walk on stilts for that.
You're could in, you? Like, one shot on stilts. That's so crazy.
I know. And they could have... It could have been these easy, like, 3-foot stilts, but there's a harder... I'm schooling you guys on stilts.
Oh, okay.
Please. Stilt
Let's go.
Technology now. But then there's 5-foot stilts, which is what they're like, no, we want you to learn on the 5-foot stilts. So I spent, like... a week learning how to walk on those stilts, and I finally got it down. And as you said, it's about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Of,
so would you be at home working it. On these stilts, or would they like they gave?
No,
you
I'd
you...
come in and I'd have like a stilt guy who
a stilt
was it? Wilt
guy.
The
That's
stilt?
Amazing.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
unsung hero of Gilmore Girls was the stilt guy.
Yeah. Right?
Chamberlain.
That helped out with that. Well, we talked to you recently about some of your favorite jobs, and I wanted to show a clip of one of them, which to me. Sincerely, No Bit Zone is one of my favorite Gilmore Girls scenes ever because it's everything I love about the show, which is the direct kind of like comparison and contrast of the delightful and weird and the grounded and emotional. And this is, who's a Fiddler on the Roof fan in the house? And you may remember Mr. Sean Gunn as Mr. Kirk Gleason as Tevye in Fiddler on a Roof.
Do you love me?
Why, what?
Do you love me?
It's beautiful.
Why love you? With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town. We're upset, worn out. Go inside, go lie down.
I'm invested in this romance.
Suggestion.
Golda, I'm asking you a question.
Okay, go.
And just the idea that they would contrast something as emotional as the Luke and Lorelai stuff with a grown man singing to a child.
Yeah.
Is
about loving one another.
Yes. It's so amazing.
It's like, well, Lita.
25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?
Then you love me. I suppose I love you too.
He's having a Vietnam flashback.
But even so,
I'm gonna cry.
After 25 years.
I feel very warm. I feel very
yeah,
warm
it
right
is.
Now. My body temperature.
We all do.
Just
We're
up.
All sharing something together with one another.
I love that's probably my favorite episode of Gilmore Girls of the entire run of the show.
That is 5:15 Jews and Chinese food.
Yeah, I love that episode. And I remember the thing that one of the things I remember most about that episode was I was really nervous about how to sing the song because I didn't know if I should try to sing it as well as I could, or if I should try to, or how Kirk would sing it, like if it was, if I should send up the comedy. I don't know. I was in my head about it. And I went to the late, great Ed Herman, and I asked Ed, definitely deserves, and I remember pulling Ed aside and asking him, like, look, you're a veteran. How do you think I should play this? And him giving me exactly the right advice, which was, I think he literally said, "Just get out of your head, man. Just go for it. Come on." And it was perfect. And I love that scene. I think it really works for the reason you're talking about. It's totally ridiculous. I mean, Kirk and that young girl singing a love song together.
What was the rehearsal process?
It's totally absurd, and yet there's something really sort of beautiful about the moment. I think in the scope of the series, the rehearsal was just really. I mean, I don't know. It was me and her learning how to sing that song, and, you know, a little choreography, and, you know.
It's so sweet. Oh, man, and it's like you guys taught each other a little something about showbiz that day, too.
And she could really sing, so she was intimidating.
Well, as could you, sir. Girl. That was some damn fine singing. Wouldn't mind hearing more of that in the revival, maybe, one day, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd do my best.
Or maybe your new album will drop on Spotify. Maybe we should time it so your new album drops on Spotify the day this podcast comes
out. Don't hold your breath on that one, Kevin.
Well,
are we ever going to hear more from the Kirk Gleason Five?
What? Say that again?
What? It wasn't important. The Kirk Gleason Five was a band.
The Kirk Gleason Five. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But mentioned once briefly on the show.
That's right.
On
and
the
now
show.
Encased forever in the series.
Frozen in amber. Well, that's so beautiful. So, guys, thank you so much for coming to the Stars Hollow Countdown Show. It was such a pleasure to do this for you guys and have a great time revisiting this show that we all love. And give it up once more for our guests, Ross Kimble and the great Sean Gunn.
Thanks, everybody.
And as per usual, there's only one thing left to do.
If you're out on the road,
oh yeah,
feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. When you leave, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. You tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
I like that song.
We're all entitled here.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks, guys, so much. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you, Christina.
Yes, thank you so much, PopFest. We love you guys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.